Now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, who also is the mother of Jesus. Also the other women with them were telling these things concerning Jesus' resurrection to the apostles. But these words appeared to the disciples as nonsense, and they would not believe. But somebody did. Somebody believed. And then a second person believed. And then a third. Until over a billion people today are gathering around the world to celebrate Easter as Christ followers. Wow. It truly, to me, is the greatest story that's ever been told. To quote C.S. Lewis, it's either the complete truth or it's the greatest lie that's ever been perpetrated on humanity. It's not like anything else, but creation does give witness to us as we look outside. As we see the death of winter turning into the life of spring, it's a way of reminding us that the resurrection is built into the very fabric of society and into the very fabric of creation itself. But our faith is slightly different than just that, the normal return of spring. No, our faith is a bit of a scandal because we believe that Jesus rose in bodily form, even though he wasn't recognizable to those who knew him the best. The resurrection stories are about more than just surviving death. They tell how a totally new mode of becoming as a human being has arisen in the universe. Something truly new has happened in the universe, as new as the first coming of organic life itself. This man, after death, does not get divided up into flesh and spirit. No, a new mode of being has arisen from the dead in bodily form, not just a spirit, not just a ghost, but a new creation, a new human. But what are we to make of this on Easter? Or maybe the real question isn't what we're to make of it, but what is Jesus to make of us on Easter? And this is where Paul, I think, speaks as clearly as anybody can. He says, this story that we proclaim to you is utter foolishness to the intellectuals as represented by the Greeks. And it is a scandal to all good believing Jews because this is simply not what happens to God's Messiah. No, God's Messiah doesn't get hung out to dry on a cross. Instead, he becomes the warring, conquering hero of David's time or of Moses' time. But for those of us, Paul says, who are in neither of those two camps, this story offers the key to life itself and life everlasting. He didn't come, you see, Jesus, to start a new religion. He didn't come to start Christianity. He came to show us how to live a new life as human beings, a life that incarnates faith and hope and love, these eternal qualities. There was a theologian in Germany by the name of Christoph Friedrich Blumhardt. He was a leader in the Lutheran Confessing Church movement when Hitler was rising to power in Germany. He says this is, I think, so profound. He says, it is not enough to celebrate Easter and say Christ is risen. It is useless to proclaim this unless at the very same time we can say that we have also arisen with him, that we have received something from heaven, something that has changed us. How is it that we can feel appalled at what happened to Jesus over 2,000 years ago and yet this very thing happens to thousands, if not millions, of other human beings today who die in poverty, starvation, war, famine, and everything else and don't get a headline's notice? How can this be that this has no effect on our lives as Christ followers, he asks. So the question for us, I think, today on Easter is, how do our lives show that evidence that we truly believe in this story, or do our lives not show this? But I warn you, the things that Jesus says are not like any other teacher's teachings. He doesn't teach like anybody else I've ever heard. Philosophers may argue over the idea of ultimate truth like Plato and Aristotle did, but Jesus says, no. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Give your life away for others and you will save your life. Try and keep your life, you're going to lose it. Love your enemies. I tell you, pray for those who persecute you. If anything whatsoever is keeping you from God or from me, whatever it is, throw it away. If it's your eye, pull it out of your socket and throw it away. If it's your hand, cut it off. If it's yourself, and you put yourself first, then you will be made last. Oh, and your sins, by the way, all of them, every single one of them, are wiped out. I can do that. I have done that. Now, what about you? And it's not a question of being better than we were before this resurrection event. It's not a question of being good citizens. No, the resurrection means that there is a force in life that can now be seen within us. That something of God and of heaven, something holy, other, something like kindness, something like humility, something like justice, something like truth-telling, something like forgiveness of sins and loving your enemies can grow in you and in me and give evidence by how we behave and act in our society that it means we can actually see that there is no longer that sinful desire that has power over our lives, but that there is something of Christ's resurrection, something of his life that has power through the Spirit that leads you and me towards a wholeness, towards a peace that passes all understanding, towards a serenity, towards wisdom. What is God's kingdom anyway, folks? We hear about it every Sunday. What is God's kingdom about? I don't believe it's about Christian causes or Christian institutions. If you want to give your money, that's great. No criticism. I'm just saying, it's not about that. God's kingdom is beyond all religion. It is not contained in a man-made institution. God's kingdom is God's kingdom alone. And it is evidenced in us here on earth as new birth, as a reborn new heart, as a new mind, as new feelings, as new possibilities creep into our lives suddenly and take hold, and no longer the same old compulsions throw us back into the same old routines that we seem to suffer within year in and year out. Something new is being born within us, and this is God's coming kingdom. And it was first seen in Jesus' resurrection on that Sunday morning when everybody ran away scared. Nobody said anything. Somebody talked. Somebody said something. And as soon as that something got said, words spread like wildfire. When people talk, people listen. It was first seen in Jesus' resurrection, now to be seen in ours. He is quite simply the one who shows me the way that I need to go in life. He tells me the truth about the nature of life and about who I am. And he offers me a life that is without end. Life everlasting and abundance, man. I want to show you, Stephen, the heights of joy and the depths of sorrow. I want you to suck the marrow out of this gift that you've been given. I want all of you to suck the marrow out of this gift you have been given, Jesus is saying on Resurrection Day. I hope he does the same for all of us, right? I hope that we begin to manifest signs of God's resurrection in our own lives for others. What more is there to say? Well, maybe it's time to move beyond mere words. Maybe it's time to let our being, as we are, testify to this new truth that has emerged in our midst. Happy Easter. Amen.